I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a recent report tells us that suicide among people in their middle years is climbing. We'll talk about why that might be. It's our weekly Behind Closed Doors conversation. But first, just about every week, we dig into the Washington Post Sunday magazine for interesting stories about the way we live now. This week is no different. Now, around holiday time especially, isn't there always a story somewhere about how to cope with your relatives, even about how to avoid seeing them all together without hurting anybody's feelings? Well, this week, the magazine tells a very different story, a story about folks who love being around family, love them enough to move their own families in together, or at least on the same block, the Tolsons. Jerry and Diane Tolson raised their five children in a home in Columbia, Maryland. At one point, all of their children moved away, as kids are wont to do, but then they started coming back. Today, three of the five children own homes on the same block as their parents. We're pleased to welcome Jerry, Diane, and sons Todd and Evan, and daughter Patricia to talk about having families for neighbors. The whole crew is here with me in the studio. Hello. Thank you all for coming.
Hello.
Hi. How are
you? Be here.
Let me start with Jerry and Diane. Why did you pick the neighborhood that you raised the family in?
We picked that neighborhood. We were looking for at Columbia because we had three kids of our own at the time, and Diane's brother and sister, who were 15 years old, they were teenage twins, were living with us. So we needed a fairly large home, and we wanted a community in which we had good schools and we had good support. It was designed to be a fairly open community with lots of green space and lots of walking trails and a community centered around villages. So that concept was intended to get people to live as neighbors in small villages. And to a large degree, that I think that concept has borne itself out.
Okay. Diane, I understand that you all were the first African-American family on the block. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
What was that like?
It was great. Everybody was basically the same age, which was very interesting, and the kids were all about the same age. And at that point, out of 22 houses, only one woman worked. That was very different. But we had 60 kids on that street. So that's what it was like. It was a great deal of fun.
What was it? What was fun about it?
We all did a lot of community things together, from backyard volleyball games to 4th of July picnics and parades to sharing with some daycare, so it was really great.
Todd and Evan, I'd like to ask you, what do you remember about it, Todd?
Well, I remember moving from D.C., we lived in Northwest, up to Columbia, and it was much different because obviously we're coming from a city environment, we had trees and everything, and there were a lot of kids around. So I had instantly about 10 kids on the street within a year or two of my age, and just made instant friends right away, and there was endless things to do all around the community.
Evan, what about you?
And for me, with Todd, I was 2 years old, so this house was the only house that I really remember. And the great thing about where our house is located, it's at the end of the cul-de-sac, and because of the way a lot of the houses have woods up to the yard, so we had a big backyard. So our house was kind of like, you know, Mission Central for kids would come down, and then we would figure out what to do. So our house was one of the houses where the pickup football game happened or the what have you. So, the geographical location, not only of Columbia itself being in between Baltimore and Washington, but the physical location of us on the street made for, yes, there was never a dull moment.
Lots of kids congregated at our house.
Yeah. So,
Patricia, you joined this family of crusty boys a little later. What do you remember about growing up there?
My sister and I, Stephanie, we were both adopted. So I actually did not move in until I was about 5 years of age. So for me, it was more stability and family oriented because I was in a foster home prior to that. My sister is 7 months younger than I am. We were in the same foster home, and she was actually adopted before I was. But we were friends, and so I would visit them, you know, regularly, and that's when later they decided to adopt me. So again, it was just instant friends, security. Those were the two biggest things for me.
I got to take him to show and tell in elementary school. Look what I got this weekend.
There's a quote in the Washington Post piece about all of you leaving behind your sheltered lives to serve in the military at one point or to engage in some form of national service at some point. First of all, I have to thank you all for your service. And I just wondered, did you experience it that way, Patricia, as a...
I think me more than everyone else. I am the quietest one in the family. Back then, I was really shy. And for me, it was important to see the world.
But one of the things that's important about that, first of all, that there is a sense of shared value around service, and I do appreciate and respect that. But it's also the fact that you had the choice, because all of you did have the opportunity to travel and to see the world and to go a bunch of places. So I'm interested in hearing from you why then you all started coming back, Todd.
Well, I was probably the farthest away. After I graduated from high school, I initially lived in about six or seven states and lived in Germany. And last from 2002 to 2004 to Korea. And we came back because I've always had the memories of when I grew up as a kid. And my children, my oldest, had been through four elementary and two middle schools. So he had been a military child and moved around a lot. So I wanted them to have a little bit more of the stability and community that I grew up with, that I was blessed to have.
So you were the first to come back?
Todd, no, I think I was.
You were, Patricia, you were the first to come back?
Yes. My reason was for financial reasons initially. I'm a single parent. My son will be 15 next month. And my parents are giving me the opportunity to get back on my feet. So I moved in with them. But then also it was stability for my son, because he also had gone to several different elementary schools. And he wasn't confident. He wasn't sure of himself. And it was important, you know, for him to be in that environment with a strong male role model, which is my father.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with the Tolson family, Jerry, Diane, sons Todd, Evan, and daughter Patricia, about having family as neighbors. Jerry and Diane, I wanted to ask, when you were thinking about the kind of family you all wanted to create, was this part of what you had in mind?
I think, yeah, we...
I was thinking about cruising in the Bermuda.
Well, we do that now. Okay. But, no, I grew up in a traditional family setting. I'm one of five. And, you know, while I couldn't relate to certain aspects of the Norman Rockwell family depictions, I did relate to the traditional nuclear family. So in a large sense, I think, yes, I wanted to have a family of confident, capable children, offspring. Living close to me wasn't part of that initial dream, but, you know, it's just an added plus.
Dan, what about you? Moms often are the ones that want the kids as close as possible because they want to see those grandkids. But was this part of what you had in mind? Or was
not really. Not really. It just sort of all developed. But I've been involved in a big extended family all my life. I had 30 first cousins. And my dad grew up on a farm with lots of brothers and sisters, and my mom had a lot of extended family. So I call it the tribal mentality, and that's what we have today.
Evan, you lived with the folks at one point too, right?
Yes, at one point, just from circumstances, all of us were living in the house. I think that's what the article had said. There was nine of us in mom and dad's house after an addition. And although I owned a townhouse up the street that I was renting, just logistically, it was easier for me to come by and being the middle kid, I guess, and help coordinate, fix this or where's that. And even though I was there, I was not there a lot, so I didn't take up too much space, so to speak.
Small carbon footprint for
Evan. There you go. There you go.
Well, what's the best part of living so close together, and what's the worst part? Be honest. I want to hear from – let's go around and hear from
everybody. I'd say the best part.
Go ahead, Evan, you start.
Mm-hmm. Well, me being still single, I get to tease and compare and with my nephews. I know my parents always get sick of me saying, at 12 years old, was I like that? Or did I forget that? Or did I not have any idea about one subject or another? And the great thing is they live in the same street, the same community, and a lot of the buildings that are still the same. The gym teacher that we all had in elementary school, this next generation still has that same gym teacher, is still there. So there's still some constants, let's say. And so that's great to have them all around. And to be able to compare, because the world has drastically changed. Like Mom had said, what, every parent, the mother was at home, and that was the reality that we had. As opposed to now, that's crazy.
So let's keep it real. So that's the good part. What's the bad part? What was the bad part? Everybody trying to fix you up in your business?
Yeah.
Evaluating
that's
your girlfriends?
That's a bit. Where's my girlfriend? That was one of the big ones. Or as well as, where are you going? What am I doing? Since I'm the one that I guess is the one that hasn't been attached for so long. I'm the stereotypical bachelor out on the town, man out on town. So people want to know what's going on with that.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. Yeah. So That's good and bad. And with the nephews as well. I'm the cool uncle
cool
that still
uncle.
Plays video games and has Xbox parties. So the good so outweighs the bad.
Diane, what about you?
Well, the good is I get to be with my grandchildren, and it's really awesome. I get to see them on a regular basis. And then if I want something lifted or picked up or my car fixed, I've got a lot of help. So it is a treat.
So what's the bad part? Keep it real. Come on.
Keep it real. We have some issues sometimes. Are you going to church? Did I see you coming down? Were you going to church? and borrowing things like that, you know.
Oh, borrowing things. Patricia.
I thought that
Shall we
was
hear
the,
from you?
I thought that would be the positive thing of living on the same street. I will call mother and ask to borrow something. She says no.
Dad asks where are his tools all the time.
Yeah.
I've given up.
Who borrowed this? Who borrowed that?
Todd, what about you?
Well, the good thing is having the grandkids being close to my parents, which are the grandparents.
What's it like for your wife, though, living next door to the in-laws? And well, I can call her later, just fact check.
Exactly. Well, I'll let her speak for herself. But there's sometimes there's problems with time because, you know, grandma likes to have the kids around. Other people like to have the kids around. And she's used to being the only woman in their life. So now there's competition for all those that time with the kids. So there's some challenges there always.
Can I just tell you, I have 4-year-old twins. I can fill the void if she wants to come over and have some toddler time. I can hook her up. Jerry, is there anything else besides the tools that you want to mention? What's the best part? What's the worst part?
Oh, the tools I've given up on long ago. I think I'll give you a quote from my grandson. This was my oldest grandson, who was Todd Jr., so his nickname is TJ, when we found that Todd and his wife Bernadette were going to be able to move right next door. Then I was asking TJ about that and said, TJ, isn't that going to be great? And TJ said, I don't know why we have to move. And I said, but you're going to have your own space, more of your own space. And
that must have been one of the best remarks that I've had
the pleasure of hearing, that do we really have to move?
Next door.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask this because in some places, including in the D.C. area, local jurisdictions have tried to crack down on the kinds of living arrangements that you all have had. And I think for most people would assume this is related to immigrants. It's mainly considered a crowding ordinance, and you have a very large home. And these ordinances have not generally been upheld by the courts. But I just wonder, how does that make you feel to hear that? I mean, it's generally aimed at unrelated adults living together, but in some places it has been aimed at, they've even changed, for example, in Manassas, for a moment, tried to change the definition of family to keep a number of adults from living together. At one point you had 9 people and 7 cars mm-hmm. at your house. Mm-hmm. So I just wondered how, when you hear that kind of conversation, how you feel about it, how it makes you feel, or what you think about that.
Well, I don't feel that applies in our case because we're all a nuclear biological family. And at the point that we had 9 people in our house, we had just modified it. So it was a 6-bedroom, 5.5 bathroom house with 14 rooms in all. So there was space enough for all of us. I was very conscious of our neighbors, many of whom had been our neighbors since we had moved there in 71, and we made sure that our 7 cars were all parked in our spaces, so to speak. So I feel it's wonderful when families can live close by because the kids get to experience the other members of their families. They get to experience and see something about their elders other than just pictures from time to time. And the once a year maybe family reunion or periodic trip. You know.
Patricia, before I let you go, I have to ask, can you tell, I know you're shy, but the story about how it is that you happen to get the house that you have on your block?
I said it's a serious blessing. I was scheduled to move out of my parents' home last summer, July. And I wanted to stay in Howard County, but I work for the government. I don't make too much money. And realistically, I couldn't afford to stay in Howard County. So my dad had come across an article. He approached me with it to say that they were offering a lottery for those individuals with moderate income to co-own a home, you know, in Columbia. I went through the house. They had an open house. I went through the house thinking, oh, this will be a great house for someone, whoever wins it. I never expected myself to win it. That Saturday, we met at Oakland Mills High School. They were having a housing fair. And our county representative, Ken Ullman, was the one who was going to draw the names of those who were eligible for it. And the representative, he pulled out, you know, an envelope. The envelope actually fell. And he picked it up again, and I don't know if he picked up the same one or not. I think he said he did. But he read my name. He read Patricia first, and I was like, there's no way. Then he read Tolson. And many of the neighbors had come to the housing fair to see who their new neighbors were going to be, and we were just all in shock. I don't have the words for it. A true blessing. So
I was jealous.
Evan said, I had to buy my house.
That was bigger than my house, too.
Right. And Anthony and I had looked at the video of the secret, and not realizing that he had really understood or took this in, once they won that house, he said, Grandma, that's what the secret is about. But we are Catholic. We go and pray and light candles all the time. But he understood the secret.
It's ironic because I was supposed to move out 1 July, but I closed on the house on July 23rd. So it was just, the timing was perfect. So
amazing.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, that was something.
Amazing, as is your whole story. The Tolson family, Jerry, Diane, Todd, Evan, and Patricia. We're only missing Mark and Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me. If you want to read the story about the Tolsons in the Washington Post magazine in its entirety, you can do so by going to our website, npr.org/tellmemore. The story was written by Linnell Smith. Tolsons, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for having us. Uh-huh.
Remember, with Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. So we want to ask, are the Tolsons familiar to you or as foreign as a language you do not understand? Do you have relatives living near? What's been your experience? An added convenience, reinforcing family ties, or would you rather just catch up at the next reunion? Tell us more about what you think and read what other listeners are saying. You can go to our blog at npr.org/tellmemore, or you can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That's 202-842-3522.